Welcome to the Joplin and Andrea podcast. This is Joplin here with your co-host Andrea. Welcome to our show.
Welcome to the Joplin and Andrea podcast. We're here today to discuss all things faith, family, and fun. Thank you for joining us. Today we're here to discuss why we're doing this new podcast. We're here to discuss hope during the coronavirus pandemic, and we're here to answer a few questions that were submitted online. I'm Andrea Emberson, and I'm here with my husband and co-host Joplin Emberson. Let's get this started. Joplin, why are we doing this?
Okay, well, why are we doing a podcast? I think that's a good question. Considering this is like take 5 or 7 of our first podcast ever. This is a crazy thing that we're doing. To tell you the truth, we've been talking about it for a year. And probably the main thing that's kept us from doing this podcast is that looking for the right time, looking for extra time, looking for the right place. And so we wanted to welcome people to our crazy world a little bit. And I'll tell you, shooting this first podcast has been wild. I think this is take 7 or 8. We've had people come to the door in the middle of a podcast, and we had to take care of that. We've had 3 or 4 different takes where things just didn't go well. And then I think we were like right in the middle of finishing up. We were almost all done, and we hear our little 8-year-old in the other room. So he just got himself a new headset for his video games where he can talk to his little buddies. And he has no idea how loud he's being. He's in the other room yelling like, you know, kill him, kill him, kill him. And we're in here trying to have a podcast. And it has been one thing after another, just getting podcast 1 done. So I say all that to say, why are we doing this? It's certainly not because we were sitting around with nothing to do, wondering what should we do with all our free time. So I would say there was a burden for this thing that would not go away, that has forced us to just say one way or another, you and I are going to make this thing happen. I have had it on my heart for quite some time, and our platform is going to be, as you opened up with, faith, family, and fun, things that we're all passionate about. I am especially passionate about the first two, faith and family. I felt like a podcast would be a good avenue for me to be able to utilize my gift. One of the things I love to do, I think is incredibly important. I feel like God's gifted me to do it. And that is to explain the Bible, to explain the scriptures in a way that is easy to understand for the average listener. And I'm hopeful that a portion of each broadcast, we can field some questions and talk about some biblical concepts, principles, take questions from our listeners. And then family. Man, we have been married for 20 years. It has been an awesome 20 years. I mean this sincerely when I say I do not know of another marriage that has been as awesome as ours. It has just been incredible. It's a 20-year journey. And that said, there is no doubt through 20 years, we've had our hard times, we've had our good times, our bad times, our ups and our downs. And yet, here we are, 20 years later, stronger than we've ever been. We have 5 children together, 4 that we're currently raising, 1 that is in heaven that went on through a miscarriage that we had early on. And so, 3 teenagers in the house now, 1 little 8-year-old, and we are one big, crazy family. And I think that allowing people into our lives a little bit and maybe speaking into theirs a little bit is something that is going to be helpful. And then finally, our platform of fun. I'm super excited about this because this was the final piece for me on bringing my wife into this podcast. Andrea, you are one of the funnest people that I've ever known, ever met. And in fact, she's a little nervous about this podcast. I think she feels like she's, you know, got to be professional. But I've been trying to tell her, babe, you just be you. She is a ton of fun. She's fun to be around, fun to listen to, fun to just be in her company. And so she's going to make sure that this thing never gets boring. She's going to keep some spice and some fun to it. And with that said, I turn it over to my fun co-host. Andrea, from your perspective, why are we doing this?
Well, for several different reasons, but I'm better with Snapchat and the fun filters because you can just, you know, say what you want and not have to worry about any of it. So that's kind of my platform.
She is a Snapchat master. Yeah, she's great with the filters.
But since we're doing non-filter style today, we'll go with the other reasons why I'm here. I'm here because I love people. I love God, and I'm just open to any opportunity that God might be able to use to help people at any capacity. And so I'm excited to be here to see what I can bring to the table to help someone, maybe multiple people, and because I like to have fun. And so hopefully I can add my fun in here wherever is possible.
All right. Well, let's get started right away with our first actual topic of the day. We want to talk about staying positive in the coronavirus pandemic. Andrea is going to share with you some of the things we've done as a family to try to stay positive. Before I turn it over to her for that, we want to take a moment to just acknowledge the seriousness of the situation. When we talk about staying positive during this coronavirus pandemic, we are not, you know, we don't have our head in the sand. We recognize this is a very serious time. There have been, last I heard reported, more than 10,000 deaths in the U.S. now to this virus. That is obviously a huge number of families impacted by death. And that's just those who have died, not counting all those that are currently battling the virus. It is a serious time, and I think that it would do us well to really give a shout out to our medical professionals. These people that are literally on the front lines dealing with patients day in and day out, and they deserve all the respect in the world. It's a serious time for them, serious time for their families. And just want to thank God for our doctors, our nurses, our healthcare professionals, everybody on the front line. And so we want to acknowledge the seriousness of the situation. But with that said, how do you stay positive in the middle of a storm, in the middle of a dark time, in the middle of everything that's going on? A lot of people out there right now that don't have jobs or have been furloughed. How do we stay positive? What are some things that can be done? Practical things day in and day out that can our listeners can maybe do. What are some of the things we've done? Andrea, what are we doing as a family to stay positive?
The most important thing is just making sure that we're up being positive daily. You know, there's so many things that we can be thankful for, and keeping your mind focused on those rather than going to all the negative has really helped us to continue to maintain a level of being positive. One of the opportunities that we had last week was we were able to go take some kids that have came over seeking a new home here in America from Tanzania. And so they don't know English, and they're really confused right now on why they're not getting to go to school, why they're not able to go to our church anymore, why people that they love can't come pick them up and continue to invest in them. And so we were able to go over and actually help them. We had a translator translate some things for us via phone, and we were able to walk them where they can get lunch every single day and really just kind of sow into them some positive things that they can be doing in their own homes. And so that was really awesome for us. And then we also were able to take some food to a family here in Derby where the mom has lost her job, the dad had lost his job, and they had no income. And so they had two little kids in the home. We were able to take them over some groceries, and I know that the mom was just so thankful that we were able to come over and help. And that was an awesome experience for us, awesome experience for our family. And another thing that we got to do was I was able to get together some pictures of our kids over the last several weeks of just activities they've did, different things that they were able to go to, and print those off and send those to grandparents, and just kind of encourage them. They can't get out of their homes. They're stuck in their house. And so sent those pictures and just kind of made their day.
That was one of my favorite things that we did. That was really, that was a neat deal.
Yeah, you were a big part of that.
So, actually, no, I didn't even know we did that until this broadcast, to tell you the truth. This is the benefit of having a fun wife that is always thoughtful. When she told me about this, I thought this was a recommendation, like something that we could recommend to people. Come to find out, we've already done it as a family. And yes, I get to say we, because the mail was sent from the Emberson household. And so
Andrea was in some of those pictures.
And I was in the pictures, that's right. So thank you for that.
Yes, and so anyway, in addition to that, we also got together with my family. My cousin organized this parade where we could go just parade around my grandma's house. And my grandma lost my grandpa. Well, it's probably been about 2 years ago. And she's by herself, and it gets really lonely. And so I know it just really brightened up her, probably still brightening her up, that we were able to go over about a week ago and parade around her house.
So that was a really, really cool moment for me. It was a simple thing. But it was just awesome to see. I don't even know how many carloads there were. My wife has a big family to start with. I remember when I very first got with her and started dating, I was a little overwhelmed when we'd have to go to family events because there's like 40 or 50 people for everything, every birthday, Thanksgiving. I mean, they got together on New Year's Day to eat black-eyed peas, just that they're a tight-knit family, and it was neat to see. There had to be, I don't know, 15,
13 cousins, 20. And then all their children now. So
everybody got together and did this parade of cars past her grandmother's house. It was so cool, and Grandma stood out in the front yard and waved at all of us as we went by, and a lot of the kids had banners and stuff, and that was a really fun, very positive thing that we did coming out of this thing. And I think it was one of Andrea's cousins that put that together. We participated in it, but definitely a fun experience.
Yeah. So those are some things that we did just to try to continue to keep the positive things going around and help others stay positive.
One thing that I think has been really helpful, good, is the time we've been able to spend with our kids. So normally when summer hits, you know, they are all over the place. So one guy wants to stay here, one of the girls wants to stay there, or they want to swim here, do this, do that. And so, yeah, they're home, school's out, but it's, you know, pandemonium around the Emberson household. With this stay-at-home order, we have actually been able to spend a lot of time with our kids. Do a lot of things together, crafts, and watch a few movies together. And Andrea has been helping a lot with the schoolwork with our little guy. And me and my 13-year-old Tyron, we have done a lot of work together around the house, physical stuff, and cutting up some logs and trees and things that needed taken care of. And so that is one benefit that has come out of this thing, is some serious quality time with our kids. Well, that is all the time we have for the first half of our podcast today. Do not go anywhere. We will be right back in 60 seconds. This is Joplin Emberson, pastor at the Well Worship Center of Derby, Kansas. And yes, of course, I'm using today's first podcast as an opportunity to promote the ministry of the Well Worship Center in Derby, Kansas. If you're ever close by, we'd love to have you come visit us, whether you live locally or maybe you're just passing through on vacation. Google us, the Well Worship Center of Derby, Kansas, and come see us. We have church services on Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. and 10:40 a.m., and then again on Wednesday at 7. We have ministries for people of all ages, from young to old and everything in between, and we would love to have you join us. As always, you can check us out online at thewellwc.church, or I would strongly encourage you to download our official church app. You can find it on the Google platforms or on your iPhone. Just search The Well Worship Center and you'll find us and stay up to date with everything going on at The Well.
Welcome back to the Joplin and Andrea podcast. It's the time of the show that we're going to take to answer some questions from listeners. Today's question comes from Chad. here is the question. Do churches have an obligation to spread the message of Jesus? And the second part of my question is, do churches have an obligation to expand in size, or is it okay for a congregation to always be small? I see that your church is doing well and trying to grow, but many churches are very small and don't have interest in expanding. Joplin, what would you say to that question?
Listen, I think it's a good question. I think it's a fair question, and probably a question that has application to a significant chunk of churches in the United States. So first of all, let's kind of work through it one piece at a time. The general question was, do churches have an obligation to spread the message of Jesus? Yes, absolutely we do. If we aren't, then who will? I think it's really important, though, to clarify that the church is people, right? It's not a building. Sometimes when this question is asked, it has this connotation of what the pastor does on Sunday morning. And really, the church is not the pastors, it's not the elders, it's not the building, it's not the location. The church is and always will be the believers who make up the church. And so I would reword the question this way. Do believers have a responsibility to spread the message of Jesus? And the answer is yes. Now, with that clarified, I think it's important that the leaders of the church, a spiritual, you know, the leadership, the pastors, elders, deacons, they need to be leading the way in this, and they should be helping equip the saints for this work. But yes, number one, we do have an obligation to spread the message. Next part of this question is, do churches have an obligation to expand in size, or is it okay for a small congregation to always be small? Well, the first and most simple answer is yes, we do have an obligation to expand in size. And as we are winning the lost, we should be expanding in size. However, I also think it's important that we consider two things. Number one, proportion, and number two, saturation. So proportion. I live in Kansas, and in Kansas there are a ton of tiny little towns that are literally in the hundreds. We have towns that aren't even close to crossing the thousand mark. Well, you can't expect a town of 300 people to have a church of 2,000. And just kind of throwing out some fake numbers here, but say you do have a town of 300 and its church has 150 people in it. Well, that would literally be half of the entire city going to that church, which is a pretty proportion-wise incredible number.
Yeah.
Something similar in Wichita, which is a town of nearly 500,000 people, you'd have to have a church that had 250,000 people in it. So I think it's really important that we remember proportionally, not to be comparing ourselves all the time to different churches and different communities. And then the other thing is saturation. You know, maybe you have a town of 1,000 people, but there's 25 churches in it. And if you do the entire math, there's a pretty significant chunk of people in the town going to one of those churches, and it is a very saturated area. So these things do need to be kept in context. Now, I'm not making excuses for stagnant churches, which is really, I think, the heartbeat of this question, but I do think to answer this question properly, that needed to be noted. So let's talk about church growth, and let's talk about expansion, and is it okay for a small congregation to always be small? Generally speaking, I would say no. The Bible teaches us that Jesus came to seek and save that which was lost. It's why he came. And then he has given his church authority to work and act on his behalf. It is our responsibility to be winning the lost. And if you're winning the lost, the church is going to expand. And so if you are part of a church, and I think this is, let me read the last way that the last sentence he said in his question was, many churches are very small and don't have an interest in expanding. I think that's a problem. And so if you're part of a church that has no interest in expanding, the next question is, what should you do? And I think it's really important you don't just leave. All right, not yet anyways. Don't just leave. If you are burdened about the lack of growth in your church, maybe you're burdened because God is going to use you to be a problem solver. And maybe you need to become the fire that is contagious. And you need to start doing your part to help the church grow. We can't just point fingers at everybody else and say our pastors should be doing this, we should be more evangelistic. Well, is there some law that says you can't witness to the people at your own workplace? Is there some law that says you can't invite your neighbors to church? You have got to be willing to do your part. We all have to be willing to do our part before we can start getting critical about others that we feel like should be doing something different. And so the first thing I would say is make up your mind you're going to do everything within your power to help bring growth, spiritual growth, and win sinners to the Lord right where you are planted. And then begin to pray. Pray for God to bring revival. Pray for God to put the same burden on other people's hearts that are part of that same local congregation. I have found over the years that sometimes churches go through these stagnant areas, and if you can get one or two people, one to the Lord, where salvation is still fresh to them and they don't want to do anything but talk about it, it's like all of a sudden the walls crumble down and the church comes into this time of revival and renewal. And so, sometimes it just takes one or two people. And so I would encourage you to be willing to be part of the solution and pray for your church. Make sure your people, your elders, your leaders, the people of the church, the people of community, make sure they know that you love them, that you're there for them, that you're serving them, you're praying for them. And then finally, if there is no change, you can sincerely say, I've done it. I've done it for a significant period of time. I've prayed. My heart is to see the church grow, but I'm part of a church that just doesn't want it. After all of that, I think it does become time that you look at trying to align yourself with another church that has a similar heartbeat to win the lost, to expand the kingdom, to see God glorified and see sinners won to the Lord. So, Chad, I hope that helps you. I appreciate the question. And what's next?
All right. Yes, thanks, Chad, for submitting a question. If any of you have questions that you would like answered, you're welcome to send it to our website at JoplinandAndrea.com. And we'll look forward to getting any emails that you might send us with questions and hoping to answer them for you soon here on the air. This Sunday happens to be Easter, and so we thought it would be cool to talk about a few things that you can do in your own homes to be creative and celebrate since it's going to be a different type of year.
All right. Preaching is going to be different. I'll tell you that much. Preaching is going to be very different. This is a big week. Mm-hmm. Really, Christmas and Easter, the two largest weeks historically for the church. You get a lot of people that attend church that are not regular attenders, and knowing that we're not going to have the numbers at church, that the people, I do believe that there's a real chance that there will be more people listening and watching this Easter than ever before. And so I want to encourage pastors, I want to encourage anyone and everybody that use this opportunity for what it is. See it as a great opportunity. There's going to be people watching online. There's going to be people listening at homes. And don't think that, this is just another at-home service. Take it with the same type of sincerity and passion that you do your normal Easter service. And I think that we need to pray for one another, be praying for our country. Yeah. I think we're going to see a great thing happen this Easter. It's very different for us pastors preparing for this week. Things are very different right now, but God is the same. A lot of us are trying to figure this out, and everybody's really blindsided that we are living in this time. But God knew this day would come before the foundations of the earth. He's still on his throne. He's still God, and we need to remember that this week. Take the moment seriously. It's a huge opportunity. So from a pastoral kind of point of view, that's my thoughts on how to handle Easter. I'm trying to handle it that way myself and hope I can encourage others to do the same.
Awesome. I just wanted to challenge people to go out and do what you did every Easter before and continue to invite people. It's going to look a little different because it will be online versus inviting them to come join and save a seat for them there in your church. But we found over the last several weeks that it's just been a unique time. There's people watching that wouldn't have watched before. And we just encourage you to get up and invite your neighbors to join you online, your friends, your family, and watch from your homes. But get out there and do something. God's still the same, and he's still wanting to work all the more. Also wanted to just encourage you to remember that there's a lot of loved ones and there's a lot of people that are close to you that are alone. And so it's a unique time for them too. A lot of them are probably facing some difficult times because they can't get out, they can't do anything. So encourage you to connect with your elderly, connect with maybe your grandparents, the ones that just can't get out, and send them a text, give them a call, let them know that you're thinking about them. It's a different time for them too. I know for us on Easter, we often go to family, and that's not gonna happen this year. So just remember your loved ones. And then lastly, I just wanted to encourage everybody to don't neglect those Easter pictures. You all still have a front okay. yard and a bench or a porch or something. And so get out there and make the best of it. Get some Easter memories going.
Of course, you can't forget the Easter photos. You men, we all thought we were going to get out of Easter pictures this year, but thanks to Andrea, we can do them at home. Who's going to take the picture?
Well, you can just use your self timers. We have technology now. We can do just about anything. So,
okay,
take a selfie. Get out those selfie sticks.
Selfie sticks. All right, there we go. Guys, don't forget to get your Easter pictures this week with your families. All right, that's all the time we have for today. Guys, thanks for listening. Encourage you, if you want more content, we've got our several daily devotions, a handful of other writings, and then continue to upload our podcast at our new website, joplinandandrea.com. Encourage you to go check that out. Until next time, God bless.